Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, President and CEO of The Wine Growers. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine. And you're about to go and do that somewhere far from Sonoma County.
I was going to say that it is. I know. So we're actually pre-recording this show today because I'm currently, if all goes well, in Chicago enjoying the nice Midwest winter. So we'll see what the weather's like, second week in November. But appropriately so, because it's football weather.
Not if you grew up in California.
No.
Football weather means something very different.
It always really messes with me, actually, still having grown up in the Midwest, that like the transition to seasons, even though I don't love snow and don't love the cold, I'm kind of a wuss all around, but it still is like a weird, there's not that transition. So now I have to rely on the changing colors of the vineyards and the, you know, the leaves getting lost on the vineyards as they go dormant to be my transition, which isn't bad.
No. I think it's the ultimate.
I guess
seasonal experience.
It really is. It's way more seasonal than snow.
Yeah, than having to wear a giant parka
for sure.
Hold yourself against a building.
The worst was when I lived in Minneapolis right after college, because I literally did have an Eddie Bauer coat, full puffy, that I could barely move in, that protected me up to negative 40 degrees.
Right.
So that'd be a swing today of like 90 degrees from where we're currently sitting. I think it's about 50 degrees out. So just think about that little nugget.
I really don't want to think about that.
That was called miserable. That's what that was.
And then imagine watching an entire football game
outside
in that park
environment. Yeah.
Is that what you're planning to do?
So thank you for asking. We are headed to Chicago because we are doing our first activation with our brand new partner, the Chicago Bears.
Go Bears.
Go Bears. So we're finally just kind of segueing, I guess, into football in the NFL after Sonoma County Wine Growers has partnered with the San Francisco Giants. And then we've, for baseball, we've partnered with the Houston Rockets for basketball. But obviously, people love football.
Tis
the season. And, you know, I think there's folks out there might say, why are you going to Chicago when you could be right here in our backyard with the 49ers? And don't get me wrong, love the 49ers. Or to give a nod to our producer, Jeff, go all the way out to Pittsburgh and support the Steelers.
That could be next.
So maybe that's next. But we do think a lot about partnerships in terms of being able to reach out to markets where maybe our winery partners and our growers don't get to as often. Markets where there's a lot of enthusiasm and support for wine. And wine consumption, and be able to kind of use the resources of the organization to do that outreach to bring the region to a place like Chicago. So we know Chicago is one of the top five wine markets for wine in general, Sonoma County wine. And it also overlays opportunities to do a lot of great outreach to the press, because there's a strong media presence in Chicago, really the hub for the Midwest. And also there are several incredible restaurants, including a restaurant conglomerate called Let Us Entertain You. They have, over 100 restaurants across, I think, 16, 17 states in the U.S. Having spent a couple of years in Chicago, I love all of them. So from their like original RJ Grunts, which is like a throwback, supposedly home of the original salad bar in the United States.
Wow.
Process
Wouldn't
that.
Wouldn't have thought it would be in Chicago.
No. To a Mon Ami Gabi, which is there in Chicago, in Vegas, to the RPM, steak, Italian, et cetera. So we're going to meet with them and just talk to them and say, hey, we have a wonderful partnership with Landry's. Could we replicate something like that, maybe on a smaller scale with them? And we are launching with the Bears. We're going to be in their VIP sort of suite, think Cloud Club of the Giants. It hosts 180 fans. It's sold out. And we'll be pouring Sonoma County wine. And our giveaway, appropriately, is our Sonoma County Wine Grower beanie. Because it's winter. We don't really get to give that as a giveaway very often. So we found the perfect match for our wine grower beanie.
You don't have a parka or a sleeping bag?
No. And that seemed a little expensive and hard to ship. But
that's
the beanie.
True.
So we'll see. I'm excited about it. And it's our first of many activations with the Bears. So we'll get a lot of chances to talk about all the things coming up with them.
Well, one of the world's great food cities, absolutely no doubt. And so just you mentioned they're in the top five for Sonoma County wine.
Yep.
What are the other four?
So we have, obviously, California is literally the best market for Sonoma County, best market for wine, I think, in general. And then next is Texas. And you could probably parcel out different cities within Texas, but we kind of lump it together as the state. You then head to Florida, mm-hmm. and then you head back to the Midwest, to Chicago, and then you end up on the East Coast in New York. So, okay. But really, for Sonoma County, New York is not quite. It's, you know, you see a lot of imported wines there. So Chicago's a really great opportunity for us.
Very good. Well, we have lots to talk about with our guests when we come back on The Good Stuff. We are back on The Good Stuff. And Carissa, that's pretty cool stuff. We have some pretty cool guests today. Do you think that they're Bears fans?
I don't know. We're going to have to find
out. I don't know. I think different Bears.
They might be Chicago fans and selling wine in Chicago fans, I'm pretty sure.
I think
maybe
one
not
of them,
Bears.
One of them at least is maybe a Cal Bears fan, which I completely support. So.
Oh, I see what you did there. I see what you did.
Yeah.
Oh,
when I say go good. Bears, that's who I'm talking
that
about.
That was pretty good. Okay.
All right. Well, hey, welcome to our guests. We have Glenn and Lori Proctor. Husband and wife owners Puccini Vineyards. Puccioni Vineyards. I'm so sorry. Please tell me how we say it.
You can say it both, but Puccioni, but we'll go with Puccioni. Seems.
Puccioni. I always say a Puccioni.
Say Puccioni.
Puccioni.
So
now you're messing with me.
As long as
you
remember it.
So when you take us through Italy to see, you know, some of your family heritage.
They will say Puccioni.
Okay.
Puccioni for the Italian relatives.
I like
Very
to be OG.
Good.
So I'm
I know that about you. It's
yeah.
true.
Puccioni.
Yeah, go back to the beginning.
You got what's always about your roots.
So tell us about your Italian roots, because you have a different last name. So somewhere along the line...
Somebody jumped the fence.
Somebody, yes, exactly. Okay. So Glenn, you're fourth generation of wine growers just in California.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And I mean, the history as told and remembered... There's always, with history, there's always interesting interpretations.
And we like fiction.
You're hearing different things from different people.
Hey, it's your story, and we're not going to be able to prove any of it is wrong.
We don't fact check.
But it, so our family's from a little town outside of Lucca called Coselli. And Lucca is 40 miles west of Florence. And so my understanding, when they were growing up, there were three boys. They had vineyards there and ranch there. And they only had enough property for two.
Oh.
So then
dilemma.
The youngest came over to the U.S. And there was some sponsorship in there, too, where he came over. But he came over in 1889.
Wow.
So,
okay.
And so it was my...
Pre-airplanes.
Yeah. He came over on the boat. I believe it was Roma. That he came over. So we found some of the records, you know, at Ellis Island, came over and what we thought was interesting, kind of settled in what looked like where they were from. I mean, if you go to their little village in Coselli and you start looking around, you're like, wow, this looks like our ranch. This looks like
wow,
Dry
okay.
Creek and Sonoma yeah. County. It was just, it was amazing. So they came over, did some work, ended up in 1904 buying the property. Supposedly, our property is like, it's in southern edge of Dry Creek, kind of 3 miles due west of Hillsburg. And he had his choices on where to buy things from. In more Dry Creek Valley Road or Dry Creek Valley proper, ended up purchasing that. Through the Nortons, who had a lot of kind of land, and there's a lot of interesting stuff there, but bought that and started the operations, and they had a winery there from 1918 to about 2 years after Prohibition.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some interesting stories there too.
Wow.
And
sure.
And then my grandfather started taking over the farming in the 30s. Specifically at the ranch with his brother, but yeah. So that's my that's on my mom's side. My mom was a Puccioni, and so then we ended up, that's my part of it, even though I've got the last name Proctor, which isn't too Italian, but I've got Puccioni, Ghilarducci, and Rossetti and Proctor. So it's mostly Italian. It's just,
yeah. You're just the outlier.
Yes. Well, yeah, it's interesting. Yes. Yeah.
The irony is we know very little about the Proctors, so we know so much about the Piccioni.
That's so interesting.
The other, yeah, Italian side. But the last name is Proctor.
Yeah, and we're like all connected into the Buccagnani family. So you start, I know this is a couple years ago, probably 15, they had a family reunion.
Yeah,
I think there was 400 people, and they had to limit it because it was too many. And you start walking around like, I'm related to you, I'm related to you.
Wow. Oh, my God.
You know, so it's very, very interesting.
That's crazy.
It's, if you've been around long enough, and it's
a
small...
Do you have a big family tree that, like, sort of
documents
everything?
Yeah, we do. We do have a family tree I've worked on. My stepmom's worked on, and then I have another cousin, so that we've kind of got it all put together. What we would do... and we haven't done it in a while. COVID's kind of slowed some things, but we would do a family reunion of everybody from my great grandfather on down. And so we do it at the ranch every 2 years. So we're due to do that. And it was, and we'd see 100 people just with that.
Wow. So Sonoma County has a lot of history of Italian immigration, especially during that kind of period of time. Do you run into a lot of people who have come specifically from Lucca, or is that rare?
No, I think there is. I mean, you go into that area of Lucca. So we went down and I can see the Tedeschi's. You can see, I'm trying to think of other names, but it's a pretty, like Dry Creek, I think it's a pretty popular area where people came over from. And some of this was like, there was some relatives that came over. Like one of my, my grandfather came over, had the winery, and vineyard, and he ended up bringing some of his nephews over. They kind of sponsor, and then would come over from there. Very, very, a lot of people came over at that time. I don't know relative to where Italy was in terms of economic issues, but there's a lot of commonality, and that's what's so interesting about Sonoma County and this business is it's people. It's amazing how close-knit and everybody is connected, which makes it much more fun.
Yeah, I would agree.
Well, Lori.
Yes.
I can kind
of
see.
Did your family
what's
come over from
here.
Lucca in the 1880s, or what's your story?
No, my family's more Eastern European, Russia, Lithuania, Ukraine, Romania, and Czechoslovakia, kind of where the grandparents or great-grandparents came. I know my grandmother came over in 1906. It was more with the pogroms, and that was their story. And then they were back east. Both my parents came from New York, Brooklyn and Queens. Once my parents got married, they didn't want to raise a family in New York. So my dad chose his medical residency based on where they wanted to live in California.
Smart.
And chose California.
So San Francisco area.
I always say, once you're an adult, you realize you have choices of where you live and what you do.
Yes, you do.
Seriously.
Yes, you do.
So good option right there. So settled in the Bay Area?
Yeah. He studied in San Francisco. Okay. So, when I was born, in San Francisco, grew up in Corte Madera till I was almost 8. Then we moved to San Rafael. And 2000, I moved up to Sonoma County, met him a couple years later. And
life changed for the better, right?
Wait, you brushed right over that. Yeah.
So I was gonna say,
we love a good matchmaking story. So
Carissa often really wants to know.
I know
about the meeting.
I do.
The first date.
Yeah. How did you meet? First date. They're both blushing and smiling.
Yeah. There's
right
a lot
now.
Of giggling
there's a lot
happening.
Of giggling going on.
We're not even drinking bubbles. So
I know.
This must be a good story.
No, we actually met online, Match.com.
Wow.
Yeah. In 2000?
2002.
Early days.
So, I was back, I think, when it probably, I don't know. I know there's a lot of spam and different things now. But, we were kind of corresponding for a bit. And then he was really busy, which I didn't know. But he kind of asked
me. He's ghosting me. And seriously, like, no, it was like,
he asked all these questions.
I was trying to close a big, we were selling a large wine brand for one of the places I had worked. So I was
It was legitimately busy, yeah, but I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And he had asked me all these questions, whatever. And I sent him a message and answered everything and didn't hear from him. And then he sends me another message, you know, a few lines, and didn't even, I think he asked some of the same questions again. And I said, you know,
sounds like reruns.
Yeah, you know, you sound really busy, and that's fine. If you can just move along or else, if you're interested, let me know. And so, like, within an hour, I get like 3 pages and the whole thing. And so
she called you out on it.
She called me out.
I did. Yeah.
Wow. And here you are 22 years later, still calling you out on it. I like it.
Yeah. We, and I mean, just the little wine brand we have called Three Dog Wine. So when we got together, we had three dogs. That was our first date. Was got coffee and we're down at, what's the park? I always forget.
Rocky Dog Park in Petaluma, because I was living in Petaluma.
Yeah, and we had our three dogs. That's Three Dog Wines. And even on our wedding cake, we had our three dogs.
So you had, did you have to decide if they got along before anything else went forward?
I mean, if my dog didn't like him, he would have been out, but you're lucky Habu liked you.
Oh.
We did, I mean.
Did you know this pressure at the time? Did you have treats in your pocket?
Later you realize, like, we go to the date. And
like
she,
a lamb?
She had, like, her friend, like, you know, she's like, I don't know who this guy is. So, like, she's giving my license plate number and stuff. But, yeah, the dog, we actually had them. We hired a trainer. I mean, this is, again, how you have a good marriage. And we hired a trainer to help us so all the dogs did get along.
Oh, my
and
gosh,
we could
I love it.
Be in together. So we went in both feet. Yeah.
Okay. And so at this time, Laura, you're working in finance. Is that kind of, because a lot of your background professionally has been in finance, hedge fund management, that sort of thing. So is that what you were doing at that time?
Yeah. So I had a small fund. I was working out of my house. My first podcast. I have to learn to talk into the microphone.
I'm to your side, so
it's always lost.
The natural inclination is to look at me, but don't look at me.
Yeah,
yes.
Look at me over
look
here.
Look at Carissa.
There you are.
So I had a small hedge fund. I was running out of my house in Petaluma, and that was what I was doing, which was nice because I could have kind of flexible hours and go to the dog park and all that stuff. But
be part there for the training and the commingling of the dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, so that's pretty much what I was doing at that point.
So. And Glenn, you mentioned that you were doing some big deals in the wine space. So explain a little bit more about your background, because you're on the kind of the vineyard winery side now, but you weren't always with your own.
Yeah, no. I've done this more recently on the wine space. So, went to school too long, ended up. Getting a master's out of Davis, you know, ended up working at the original Glen Ellen, mm-hmm. you know, with the Benziger mm-hmm. family, which was just a great ride, great family. Still love those guys to death today. Yeah. And so we went from 150,000 cases in the probably 88 into when they sold the company in 2003, about 4 million cases.
Wow!
So that was kind of the, you know, it was great time, a lot of activity, and then I ended up with that. I went to Diageo, mm-hmm. so work with BV and, you know, still Glen Ellen and Sterling and all that, and then was there for, you know, 1993, and then 2003 is when I went left Diageo and. Started working at the Ciotti company, where mm-hmm. I'm a partner. But at that time, you know, I've always wanted to, and I had a partner now in Lori, right? But I'd always wanted to make wine again from the ranch. You know, that's just always been my passion. Mm-hmm. And so it gave me the opportunity to, you know, hey, I can do this, but I can still do this, right? Because when you're working for a larger winery, they're not, at least in those days, as supportive of you having your own brand. So it kind of gave us the opportunity. I looked at her and, hey, is this okay? We'll try not to lose too much money. And ventured into the wine side. And then we at that point, there was a family transition too, and took over the ranch in terms of managing that. And redeveloping that property.
And what year was that then?
That's 2003.
2003. Yeah. Okay, so you're 20 years into sort of your own.
Yeah, no, we've. I think our first vintage was 2003 on our wine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and it was funny. You go back to the thing. We started making it at Benziger, And Mike's like, yeah, as long as you don't screw it up, you can come around. And we ended up having the same arguments and discussions I had when I worked there. So it was very fun. The family was very supportive in putting that together. So that's kind of where we got started, too, back with your roots.
Mm-hmm. And so much to talk
about. I know. I was going to say, we'll talk about the brand, because it is named, well, depending on how you want to say it, Puccioni, officially.
I do think we have to take a quick break, though, before we get to... Okay. Well, not quite yet, but very soon.
But when we come back, we should talk about the wine brand itself and what you grow and what you make.
And I want some good Benziger Boys stories in there,
You know, we have to be careful.
Okay.
I have good stories.
I have no doubt.
Yeah, but I'm fearful.
That's for the underground podcast.
Well, that's fair. Yeah, that's the secret one that we record later. So we'll disguise your voice. That's all good.
It's a black box.
We'll be right back on The Good Stuff with Glenn and Lori Proctor. Glenn and Lori Proctor of Puccioni Vineyards.
Puccioni
Vineyards.
We can just go back and play the whole day.
Well, at least it gives you guys something to talk about.
So I know. It's fun. Right. We're having fun. And wine is fun. Wine people are fun. That's the whole point of this show. So we'd love to know a little bit more about that kind of the family history, sort of when you really, so 2003, you start making wine under your own name.
Well, is the land planted at that point?
Oh, yeah. The vineyard's been, the vineyard was planted in 1904, right? So we still have some of the stuff that goes into our Old Vines Inn.
So that settles the debate what Old Vines Inn is. That would qualify.
Well, that would qualify.
I think that counts.
But over years, a vine dies, you replant it. Yeah, so it's always an interesting look at that. But
do you know what you had planted there?
Zinfandel? It was a little more of a mix. Mm-hmm. So
kind of a field blend.
You had, Zin, a little Petite Syrah, a little Alicante. Every once in a while, you'd see a mission vine.
Yeah.
So those were the general ones that we would see.
And suitcase budwood brought over, do you think, from Italy?
Italians kind of had their, I've got this, you've got it, I'll take it.
Yeah.
And because it goes back to the story. I remember my grandfather, I went to a lot of school, and, his was all experiential knowledge, right? Yeah. So he's looking at me, you don't know anything. And which is probably true. And he's like, he's planted this Napa Gamay, Val de Gay, mm-hmm. right, which really isn't grown much anymore. And he's like, I'm going, it's virused. He goes, that's not virused. That's the way everybody else's looks. So it was, kind of how things were done. But there we had the budwood. And then he would sit there and make his own St. George rootings, put those in sand.
Wow.
We'd graft those. He would graft for other people when I was a kid. But so we had that. So if you look at, there's a history, 1911, a history of Sonoma County. So our family's in there. They had 40 acres of grapes by that time. So, and they didn't have all the big tractors and horsepower. Mm-hmm. Some of it was dynamite and other things like that. Yeah. But, it was cleared. And so they've had vineyards for a long time. We started the wine brand that they had there. But 2000, 2003, we'd sold some fruit. My grandmother was unable to kind of continue taking care of things. And in an Italian family, you kind of have to wait until ask before you venture, because it's just how it works, and we get that. And so we did. We replanted a lot of some of the older vineyards, kept some of the older vineyards too, tried to improve on what was done at the same time honoring what we think had value and significance as we go forward. Because it's really, for us, it's a labor of love. I mean, what we did in 2003 is the family put together the next 100 years. So we'd been in business 100 years, and we said, okay, how do we survive? And mm-hmm. do this the next 100 years. So that was kind of our goal, is to try to maintain what's come before us.
All right, so you mentioned the dynamite, but you didn't mention the mules. Old school farming, like, you know, pre-tractors, to your point, mm-hmm. mules were vital.
Yeah, no, I've got a picture right here. You can see two mule teams of two mules each plowing, but they would use that for turning over the ground, right? So it's usually a single horse or single mule plow. They're Olivers. They'd pull that, and since I was a kid, we had mules, mule barn. We still have part of our old barn that we still have has the hay stalls and the mule stalls where they were. So they would use that to cultivate. We'd also use that to move fruit down the hill once they were picked, in terms of moving things around. So, yeah, we did that until 1968.
Wow.
And then my uncles always go, we didn't kill the mule by overworking, you know, and the mule passed, right? It was an older mule. I just to get all that out there. But we... And then my grandfather ended up buying a tractor, but of course, you know, it was a 19, it was, you know, it's a 20-year-old like tractor. We can't get tutu. And so, but the plow, the plow actually picks the soil up and turns it versus a disc, which kind of cuts and moves over. So the plow lifts and folds. And so I remember, and I was, you know, young kid, so. I think the labor laws probably, I don't know if they had any then. But
they did not.
They didn't
have seatbelt laws.
I would get on this John Deere tractor. He hooked the plow, the single horse plow. We didn't have the mule anymore, the horse, behind it. And then I would drive it down the rows so he could still use the plow. And I couldn't turn it myself when I got to the end of the row. So then he'd have to come around and actually turn it. So, we all made it out alive.
I was going to say. And getting it done.
Makes you
tough. Get it done.
Yeah.
So, Lori, how soon into your dating history did Glenn bring out some of these stories about being on mules as a kid? And
pretty early on, because we would go out to the ranch. He was living in Healdsburg at the time, and it was only 15 minutes away. And so we would go out there, and I would hear all kinds of stories. I didn't run. So, but it was... You know, fun history of what they did and everything.
Yeah, I mean, farming. Yeah.
And Lori started, you know, adding to it with what, like, she's been big into sourdough bread. And mm-hmm. so when, and I don't have a great memory of this, I was younger, but my grandfather, and great-grandfather had an oven they'd made out, and they would bake homemade sourdough bread. So now mm-hmm. we've got, when we do a vineyard tour and people come out, we'll make these nice, you know, fresh sourdough bread, and you put the pechoni stencil on it.
I don't think I've had this bread. Have you had this bread? That's interesting.
Why didn't have to make you a loaf?
Why isn't there any in the studio?
I've known Glenn a long time in my tenure.
Clearly not.
Clearly, I've not passed whatever bar you need to pass.
The bread bar.
The bread bar.
We're trying to get, because we have persimmons. We have a lot of stuff. So
other things that you have not given to Carissa.
Right. So you need to talk to the lady here on my left. I think is where you go.
All right, Lori, I'm coming for you.
All right, I'm ready.
All right, so fourth generation, all in, you have your own wine brand and stuff. There is a fifth generation that is not quite ready yet to take over, but maybe you're hoping.
Wait, are they finding the link between baseball and farming?
We're working on it. Well, so then I've got, of the ranch itself, there's my sister and a cousin, right, okay. who own it. So we have a nephew. So there's kind of the three boys, and we're going to see what they end up doing. For my two boys, they're, you know, one's in college, one's starting college next year, hopefully, fingers crossed. And I think there's some interest. I mean, when I was a kid, I would work out there every Saturday and Sunday. I'd stay Saturday night at the ranch. I mean, we got up at 6 a.m. or 5:30. Cooked. I mean, you just did. It was just part of what I love to do. I think with younger generations, it's a little hard to be as pushy.
Yeah.
So we've exposed them, but then to some degree, they've got to decide, you know, what they want. I think there's interest. The younger one has said, "Hey, I'm interested in the wine business," and I think they both understand the value we have for that ranch, and I think they're all three are tied to that. So there'll be a part of them that will still be involved. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Were they able to meet your grandfather?
They were not. No, Lori wasn't. He passed away in the early 90s. And then with me, both my parents passed away young. Mm-hmm. And so part of me trying to continue the historical tradition and the family traditions is to continue that on.
I love that.
Yeah. I do too.
Well, and I think with your sons, you expose them, and I hear that from a lot of our farmers right now with families and the next gen coming in. It's like, you know, you create the opportunity,
you give them a chance to set the table, right? Kind of say you got to decide what you want to eat, and I think they have value, and I think they know how what came before them, and we'll see what they end up doing with it.
That legacy is pretty rare to have. So
I know. Well, and the wine brand, because I think we might open some wine. Maybe when we come back. That was a suggestion, actually.
Yeah, that was not really a question. Yes.
But when did you actually start the wine brand, Puccioni?
2003.
So it was 2003, and it was labeled Puccioni from the start.
It was labeled Puccioni. We used to have a kicking mule on it, Puccioni,
and
because it's hard to pronounce.
Yeah.
But then we kind of just did a label redesign. Okay. We still have some components of the mule on it, but we were getting the critter label comments, so we kind of did a little revise.
That's fair.
Yeah, which means something very different these days in wine.
Yes.
So we will take a quick break. So that we can open some wine and be back on the good stuff. We are back on the good stuff with Glenn and Lori Proctor, and we have some wine, and it's open.
It's almost open.
There. Now it's officially open.
Now it's open.
All right. Tell us what we are going to taste here. It's
Zinfandel? I opened it so much that I actually splashed a little old vine zen on my face. So
it's good.
I'm wiping myself up.
Yeah. It's complexion. It has a lot of good quality.
Yeah, antioxidants in there.
We're opening the 22 old vine Zin from Puccioni Ranch, Vineyards. But so we have not released this yet, actually. So we're just in the beginnings of releasing it. Yeah.
And are you the winemaker?
Yeah, I do a lot of stuff. I like to stay busy. So between my wife and I, we run the whole thing. Mm. But now I make the wine at Jay Ricard's. But I'm involved in the winemaking.
Sorry, I didn't wait for the toast. I've already consumed.
Thank you.
It was taking
too long.
I know. You like that? I was like, the studio's big to get the pores all around. I was impatient.
All right. So you make this old vine Zinfandel, which is just a testament to the legacy of your place. You also make a Petite Syrah.
We make a Petite Syrah too.
Yeah. Okay. Those are the two wines.
We have another wine that we make that's got some history tied to my great-grandfather on the Proctor side, actually. Yeah. Okay. But it's out of Lake County, so they happen to come from that area. So we don't want to talk about that.
We don't
know
where that is. Yeah. So.
What?
Yeah. Never heard of that place.
No.
I'm sure it's delicious, but
these are the two wines we make from Puccioni Ranch. So.
Lovely.
No, it's beautiful.
And
cheers.
And case production is pretty small.
Yeah, case production on this is about 160 cases, and then the Petite Syrah is about 100 cases. Yeah.
All right,
so we're tiny.
So not kind of small, like infant,
baby, baby small.
Like, this tiny.
It goes back to, it's so interesting in agriculture, right? Because you're putting your heart and soul into something, and there's a passion there, and I've always liked the ability to share that passion, right? And having your own wine brand, whether how small or big, it gives you the opportunity to kind of interact with people, showcase what you do. I'd been part of a production side of the business and then went to the Ciotti company, I didn't have that, touch. And I really wanted to still be involved. So this allowed me to do that. But, and it's so fun. I mean, we have a lot of relatives with Puccioni name,
and some of our best Christmas customers.
So, but no, it's been fun. I think maybe there's a chance we could grow this, but we're pretty busy as it sits right now. Yeah. So I think it's at the right kind of.
So are you selling the majority of your grapes? Is that what happens?
Yeah. Or? So we sell them to two or three different buyers. Yeah, we have a little Alicante. So we also have fun there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we sell most of the grapes because we've got about 25 acres.
So how do people find your wines or get to hang out with you and have this incredible sourdough bread that Virginie and I have not been able to try?
That we don't get to have.
Yeah. So how does that happen we want to do that?
We're a little hard to find. We've been working with Total Wines for a long time. Uh-huh. And so just as a little exclusive, so you can find it there, some local restaurants. But yep, the best way to grab it is to reach out to us, info@PiccioniVineyards.com. But yep. We do a lot of stuff basically direct.
And I'm actually going to spell that. So yeah. PUCCIONI vineyards.com.
Yeah.
No matter how you pronounce it, it's still spelled the same
way. It rolls right off your tongue.
It does, exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's the website if you want to find the wines or come hang out with you and Laura.
Oh, yeah. No, we love doing vineyard tours. We love sharing with what we do. So it's always interested if you give it a try, yeah, let us know what you think.
And how many dogs will be on the vineyard tour?
Well, right now we're down to one dog.
And we can fix that.
And the other thing we're trying to get to is a mule, but I haven't just had the time to get to that part too, because I did fix up some of the old plows. So idea is then to use a mule and a plow again. So.
Okay, well, we're going to take a last break and come back to wrap things up with Glenn and Lori and talk about our Tuesday night wine. Up here on The Good Stuff with our guests, Glenn and Lori Proctor. Thank you so much for bringing the wines and for sharing your stories. And I feel like there's so much more that we could be talking about, but we've run out of time.
We have.
We've run out of time. So we're here to wrap it up with our Tuesday night wines. What do you think, Carissa? What are you going to open up?
Well, because we didn't have it in studio, so I'm going to swipe the bottle, frankly. They don't know this yet. But I'm going to take the Petit Syrah home. I think the new vintage is the 22. And I love their Petit Syrah. In fact, I brought it to one of my brown bag. I'm in a kind of a blind tasting group for fun, not serious. And their Petit Syrah won. I think it was about 2 years ago I brought it. And I sent Glenn a picture and said, rah-rah, like it won.
We won.
So, yeah, we won. You won. We won. We both won.
everybody wins with the
Petit Syrah. So that's what I'm doing on Tuesday night.
Very nice. Okay, guests, what do you think? What are you going to open up on a Tuesday night?
I think we're going to pick up this the 2014, kind of go old school.
Nice. 10 years.
Old Vines Inn. We've really seen with Zinfandels, especially from our property, usually time is a good thing. They age fairly well.
Longevity.
So, and I would also, I think other people should look at that too and enjoy it. But yeah, we're going to do 2014 Old Vine.
That's definitely a good stuff wine.
Okay. Yeah. Lori, you concur?
I concur.
Okay, just want to make sure everybody gets a vote.
Thank you for checking.
All right. Well, I'm gonna pick a wine that you sell a little bit of grapes to this brand. It's called Drive Wines. I don't know them, but I look forward to trying their 2019 Zin from your ranch.
I'm gonna have to come over for that one.
Yeah. I think,
but I'll bring my award-winning Petit Syrah with me from Puccini.
Sounds like it's a gathering.
It's a gathering.
Mine has
not
won any hearts and minds yet.
Yet.
But I have no doubt with your grapes, it will. So, all right. Well, people know how to find you. It's Puccioni Vineyards, PUCCIONI Vineyards.com. Also on Instagram at Puccioni_Vineyards. Look them up. Call them up. Go see the mule that is to come soon.
And we'll meet you out there for some sourdough bread.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
And the sourdough bread. Yeah.
I mean, if I say it enough, I feel like it's a good pressure.
There's
on
some
Lori.
Persimmon bread that could
persimmon.
Be made.
Wait, whoa.
We've got figs. We do have some diversity there. So
okay, let's get our calendars
synced up here.
Let's find a date.
They're not walking out of the studio without our hosting date.
The doors are locked. Right? They can't get out. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, everyone, from Sonoma County to wherever you are. Remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.